I reckon that was the case when we were looking for basketball prodigies in this country as well. They turned around, and if we could turn the clock back to a 15-year-old Andrew Gaze when he was first picked for the Victorian State Championship team, I think he would have been similarly self-effacing and humble if he was good enough to join us in the studio. He's now a seven-time NBL MVP. He's a world. He's won an NBA championship, and I'm not sure we're going to get the same modesty, but he's here. And he joins us. Gazey, great joy to have you on the program.
Good morning, Gaz. It's amazing, even through the telephone and the wireless, you just know when a man's got his tongue firmly placed. I sort of puffed my chest out, and there was like a big prick hitting a balloon and just deflated quickly.
Hey, take us back to that 15-year-old kid that debuted for the Victorian State team. What did he look like? What did he sound like? What was his attitude to the game?
What did he dress like?
Oh. Well, in all of those, you would probably say ahead of his time. Just had a fashion that, wasn't necessarily all that coordinated. But when you look at the way the young folk run around these days, it was probably well in tune with that. So I'd like to say fine, but no, it was fantastic time, and to be on the court with guys like Cal Bruton, James Crawford, Bruce Palmer, Al Westover, Brian Gorge, and some of the legends of the game, that they provided an enormous education for me. So it was a fantastic experience.
Hey, Gazey, how old were you when you wore something that wasn't a tracksuit for the first time? something that wasn't made out of parachute material.
Very underrated fabric, I might add. It was outstanding in the 80s, the old 84 Olympics. Geez, I wish I could get that gear out. That was some quality stuff. But
you played for Australia, did you? Just happened to drop that into the conversation.
No, I'm just more in tune with what we're talking about with the fashions. But I was never what you would call all that excited or concerned about the presentation, as you would attest to, Tim. And Gaz, I'm sure you've seen me running around on occasion. And it never really stuck with me, much to the disgust of my wife, who just really, really gives it to me in regards to my fashion.
We're talking about young talent. I'm not sure whether you heard the interview we just did with this young man who's about to play for Victoria as a 17-year-old. And, I mean, for you, we'll be very serious now, because whilst we have a lot of fun, we respect you as the super, super, superstar that you are. Did you, when you were playing basketball at a young age, did they try and test you out physically? Like, did they come after you a bit, the old veterans?
Absolutely, they did. Particularly when you're really young and you're 15 and you're just getting it in junk time, highly respectful. So that is the last 3 or 4 minutes. I was a 30-point player when I was 15, and that is I only got on the court.
Oh, you haven't paid your phone bill either. Can you just move around? We're just losing you. And this was, I'm sure, was going to be a great story, but we lost it. He's in some dungeon. He's probably down in coaching somewhere in a basketball stadium somewhere. We might have to try and get him back on. People on SEN, he's very familiar to everyone, SEN listeners, but to a broader audience, this is absolute sporting royalty.
Unbelievable.
We don't talk about him from a serious point of view enough.
No, because we have a lot of fun with him.
Yeah.
But from a serious basketball perspective, he was the trailblazer for this country as well. And what he achieved, not just here but overseas, was remarkable.
And got it done at Olympics. Like, every time your team would go to the Olympics, you could always rely on Andrew Gaze to hold his own. I mean, our teams in the day were always competitive, but not to the point now where they're contending for genuine medals. But Gaze was always the flag bearer. And he's rejoined us, I think. You're back with us, Gaze?
Gotcha. Yeah, I had you loud and clear. Just don't know what happened there. Tim knows the type of phones I roll with, so I know he's going to go to my Asian connections, but he's going to blame that. When you're coming in those junk time minutes, your opponents were really respectful. It's not until you actually started to do something then they really started to give it to you. And it wasn't just the opposition. Even when you're a youngster and you're coming into that practice environment, some of the old fellas, they loved you dearly. They didn't. a great.
You may laugh about your phone, Gazy. What happens? Tell us what happens, because we can't hear him. And I know you can hear us, Gazy, but for some reason we can't hear you.
Well, he ducks over to China regularly,
right?
And he just picks up the cheap stuff. Like, he doesn't like to buy anything and pay full freight for it. So he's probably got some Apple phone kit thing that he's picked up over there that's Apple misspelt, and he's paid probably about $3.50 for the phone or something like that. He's notorious, he is.
Well, he's back again. We're going to try one more time here, otherwise we're going to have to send you to a landline. You there?
You there? You got me? Yes. I know. You got me, Tim?
Yes, loud and clear.
Oh, right. No, well, I don't even know. I've said this answer three times. I'm quite a bit bored of listening to me answer, all right?
So can you ask a different question? I want to ask you about the NBL this season. Has been exploding again. Some people refer to it as going back to the halcyon days of the NBL. Is that how you're reading it as well?
I actually think it's gone a few steps beyond the halcyon days. You go back to those 90s and we're playing at the tennis center and 15,000, great things happening. We're seeing that right across the country. Everywhere you go, every city that we have a team in, the attendances are enormous. And the standard of competition, we've got nine teams in the league, and any given day, anyone can beat anyone. And that's the objective of most sporting competitions in the world, is to get that parity, that uncertainty of outcome. And we have that in spades. And with the new kids that are coming through the ranks, you know, LaMelo Ball, RJ Hampton are the ones that have got the most profile. But I don't know if you saw the Sydney game yesterday. This D.D. Lizada, he was a second-round pick. He's only 20 years of age. He is going to be a superstar. So we get to see firsthand, up close and personal, some guys that we're going to be watching on our televisions in NBA uniforms in a very short period of time.
Hey, Gazy, how is it that the Phoenix can get a team together like that and be as good as what they are and as competitive as what they have been already in their first season?
Well, I think that it comes down to two things. Is just the depth of talent, because we only have nine teams. And the concentration of talent in those nine teams, I think the league could actually cater for another four or five teams,
really?
Such as the depth of talent that we have. You only have to look at the kids that are playing college basketball right now. We've got over 200 kids playing at the collegiate level. Now, clearly not all of those are up to NBL quality, but at the pointy end of those 200, you've got some outstanding talent. And of course, it comes down to money. When you can get the players that they're able to recruit and get them all on the same page, and put the training facilities and the resources behind the team, then you can be competitive. So we're very lucky in this country, and hopefully the league continues to expand, because there are a lot of kids that, not just kids, a lot of players that have the capacity to play at this level.
Hampton and Ball, okay, they bypass college. They go straight from high school into the NBL. What do you think is going to happen as a result of this? Are we going to see more kids in America do this, do you think? Or are we overplaying this right now?
Absolutely. No, you're not. And I think the reason for it is that there's many places in the world that players can go and play. But I think here in Australia, the style of play, the similarities in culture, the similarities in coaching, all those things, we are extremely highly regarded. And this is on the back of what we've seen over the last few years with Terrence Ferguson came out a couple of years ago. He's now a starter with OKC. And he was probably one of the first of those really young guys to come out. Last year, we had Brian Bowen on our team that's now with the Indiana Pacers, with the Sydney team, I should say, that he's now with the Indiana Pacers. And if these two guys continue the path that they're on, we are talking about a guy, LaMelo Ball, that is not just fancifully, is realistically spoken about as the number one pick in the NBA draft next season. Now, I find that, you know, I think he's going to be a top pick. Whether he's going to actually be the number one pick, that remains to be seen. But if he does well, and the challenges that the NCAA put on their players, I think that they need to have a good hard look at their rules, or else there's, I think that with the success of these guys, there's going to be a mass exodus of players that choose international route rather than going through the collegiate route.
That'd be great for the NBL, of course. Gazy, Tim and I went and watched a game late last year. We sat courtside to watch the Kings take on United.
I saw you there.
What we were most impressed with was your cool demeanour. And how you just kept it all under control, and then
that's
we see your successor Will Weaver come in and he just lost his nut. Win Burko, what was that all about?
He did. It is one of those things. I think everyone has their tipping point, and he reached his.
Oh, geez.
And a lot of the times you see it in NBA games, and Popovich is one that every now and again. It was almost like a strategic move that you're communicating, no one's listening to you, so you've got to be on it to be heard. And I don't think it's something you can often, but I think it just reached his tipping point. I don't think there was anything that you look long term to say there's an issue there. It's just one of those emotional outbursts that you have that unfortunately got him tossed out of the game.
Hey, Gazy, will you come back and coach at some stage? Because Gary and I both thought you were more entertaining on the sidelines than anything else we saw that night. We kept saying to each other, have a look at him now. Have a look at him now. He's not even concentrating on the game.
No, well, hopefully it was just the looks can be deceiving. I think you are what you are. You express yourself in different ways. And for me, I never felt like it impaired my judgment. Others would disagree. But for me, it was just, the way in which your body language reacts is something that I think I had to work on, really, because it can lead to perception from the audience, which is not so much of an issue. But when the players start to think, well, maybe he's a bit Coco Loco, he just lost it a bit. But I don't think they ever got to that stage, but it is something that can have an impact.
Well, we think their future probably lies in preparing basketballers for AFL football because Fisher McKenzie or McKenzie.
Oh, yes.
Now, an AFL draft prospect of the highest order. He was with the Tigers for 4 years underneath you. You spoke about how much passion you showed and what an inspiration you were.
Yeah, well, God love him. No, he's an absolute beauty. Coached him in the under-12s and under-14s. And, in fact, he played against the top two kids. I can't remember the name. The top two kids that are allegedly going to be number one and two in the draft this year.
Anderson
well,
Rao,
Fisher yep. played. Yes, they played for Hawthorn and were super dominant. They were a great team throughout the under-12s and 14s. And Fisher played against those guys. Fisher, just a tremendous athlete, but really high IQ. And I went and watched him play footy a couple of times. He played for Caulfield Grammar. I saw him on the telly, and I tell you what, I'm not sure where he's predicted to go, but if you're judging IQ and intensity and just you tell a man, you give someone an instruction and their ability to execute, he is right up there. So hopefully, where's he predicted to go?
I've got the 10 at the moment. So it says here, the foot stress fracture, sorry, missed Sandringham's finals and combine, but he's already done enough to prove he's standing as one of the leading key position players in the tour, in the pool. So possible top 10. And after that wrap, I wouldn't be surprised if he surpasses...
Top 5.
I'm thinking one.
I tell you, it would be an absolute steal at 10. Someone sees him because he is going to be a 300-game AFL star.
Don't put pressure on him,
mate. Gary, you've got to listen to him because this bloke, and I won't mention the bloke he was talking about at the time.
No,
I won't mention, but you saw somebody play basketball and then you said to me, I'm not sure about that bloke, and it has proven to be correct.
Really?
So when you rap somebody,
I'm with him.
I'm listening to you.
Don't worry, the recruiters have all start their pen out and started to move him up the ranks.
Well, it is a scary thing when you go to the under-18 National Basketball Championships and you see more AFL representatives in the audience than you do NBL people. You know that they are on to something. And the other one that I think is going to turn out to be an absolute superstar, a bit of a later start, is Tommy Wilson, that Collingwood signed. He was with the Kings last year. Was a superstar as a junior, but he's going to be an absolute beauty as well. I put him in the Pendlebury. Scott Pendlebury's category because of his way he moves and the IQ. So no pressure on my boys, but that's what they're going to do.
I love the way you undersell this talent. That's what I'm most impressed. 300 gamer and Scott Pendlebury.
Hey, guys, before we let you go, too, we've been reading about this Heat basketball player, Dion Waiters, who apparently ingested THC edible. Now, you've been over there in the NBA. We don't know what this is. Can you explain to us what it is?
No, I can't, Tim. There's a lot of things that go on in that league. You remember telling the stories about some of the stuff that they dish up at practice. You just got to put your faith in the organisation, which sometimes can be a little bit challenging. We've seen in some sports, but apparently he got a bit crook and had a bit of a meltdown on the plane.
Yeah, he did.
And inadvertently ingested it too, not on purpose, apparently.
Is that right? I wasn't aware. I was not aware of that. It was inadvertent. I thought it was one of those things that they might have been dishing up and had the unfortunate reaction.
Side effect. Hey, mate, we always enjoy talking to you, and you're doing a great job on the NBL with your commentary too. So keep up the fine work, and maybe the next time you're over there in China, just see if you can't pay a little bit more than the $3.50 and buy yourself a half-decent phone.
Mate,
okay?
I'm telling you, it's a quality unit, does all the bells and whistles, and honestly, a third of the cost. It's incredible.
Thanks for joining
us.
And you guys, a superstar, icon of Australian sport.